for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we are continuing our series, like week three, actually, of doing obstacles. Well, not doing obstacles, equal opportunities, and this is all about enlightened journey. These co-authors literally have, I think they've just chosen their perfect story to be able to share with people to shine some light on, okay, you've got your life, you've got some obstacles. How the heck do you turn them around and really make opportunities out of them and from them and keep them coming? So today we have Matthew Bigger, and I love his chapter. He has this unique, like man search for meaning type style in his chapter. Hi there, Matt. And we've got him on the line with us already. And I love talking about each person's chapters because they are quite the challenges that each one of you have chosen to share with us. And I really love this internal purpose, seeking joy, happiness that you've chosen with your chapter and then really brought it about your entire career. So first of all, welcome, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to just share with the audience your bio here and the backstory, and then we'll jump right into giving some help to the listeners, what they might be needing, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, Matthew Bigger started out as an entrepreneur at the age of 25 when he thought he had it all figured out. How many of us know that, right? It took him nearly a decade of struggling in different businesses and sales jobs before Matthew discovered his purpose and path to a profitable and fulfilling business. Two great words that we want to have, right? Profitable and fulfilling. Working the 9-to-5 and spending more money than was coming in put him into a position of losing everything. It was a matter of swallowing his pride and moving back home with his parents or becoming homeless. This led to a decision to change his life and discover a new world where he could inspire people to seek their true potential. Today, Matthew loves working with heart-centric entrepreneurs who are motivated to create a legacy built on growth, abundance, and transformation. So, by the way, we're going to let you know how you can get a hold of Matthew, but it's empoweringvideo.com, and you'll find out why we're saying the word video. But let me start with one thing with Matt, legacy. Tell me what I love that word. It's such a big, big word. Why was it, like, here you are facing becoming homeless at one point, but then you're like, okay, what legacy? Like, how do you go from there to there?
Yeah, I mean, when doors get opened and a change of perspective on things, you start to kind of reflect on your life and how you've lived it already. And one of the things that you start to think about sometimes is, you know, what do I actually want to leave behind? And that becomes really important when you start to do self-reflection and you're thinking about, you know, like, what is my purpose? What am I even doing with my life? And those are the kind of questions that led me to that journey and thinking about, you know, what is it that, what kind of impact do I want to leave behind?
Mm-hmm. I love when I was reading yours, you're really honest right away that in your chapter and with yourself that you were really struggling, with money mindset and prosperity, like money issues. I mean, like we're listening here, you literally had to move back home with your parents. Smart decision, by the way. I'm so glad you had that option.
Yeah, for sure.
You wrote the word, and I love this. If you can share with people what you experienced with this word and what it means, is scarcity mindset.
Yeah. So, not to go too deep, but it kind of fell into the, you know, the social norm of, you know, consumer debt, and the scarcity mindset is what was controlling me. The perspective that there's not enough, there's a lack, you have to pay bills, I can't afford that, like those sorts of things, that perspective is really what I was going after there. And honestly, it's a continual journey. It's not like it's something that just you flip a switch and then your mindset is fixed overnight. It takes time.
Yeah, I think that's so, like, even sometimes I think I've nailed something and then, you know, a month later or something, you go, what? How am I here again? You know, it's like, how is happening? You wrote something, I love the word, re-education. I don't know if you remember all your beautiful things, but you discuss how it is a process of self-discovery. And how important was learning, like consuming new information for you?
Critical.
Oh, good word.
That, yeah, I mean, that's the thing that not only did I start to realize that if I wasn't learning and I wasn't growing, I was unhappy.
Oh, I get that. I posted something yesterday that said, we're either evolving or we're repeating. And that made me think of that one when you just said it was critical. I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. And I love that you went down to, I have to say this, local bookstores. Like, I used to love just going to chapters and reading titles, because sometimes even reading titles, not even a book, can really just, you find out what you're drawn to, right? Or something jumps out at you.
Yeah, for sure. That's my favorite section.
Ah, yeah.
The business section. They call it business, but it's really much more than that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I would like to touch on this. We talked about, yes, it was a scarcity mindset, a money mindset. There was things around money with you had to do a lot with. But you boiled it down to, it's hard to do this, but three things that a lot of people struggle with. And number one, I like for you to touch on this, is confidence.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that I think is a continual journey for sure. And you have to err on the side of caution, because nobody wants to be, you know, arrogant or come across a certain way, but you need to have confidence in yourself and believe in yourself so that you can do the things that are uncomfortable, so that you can get up and you can speak in front of people. You can be a guest on the radio show. You can make videos of yourself. Like, all of these things require confidence.
I can't believe I just love that you said that. I'm quoting you now. Confidence helps you do things that you're uncomfortable with, so that you can do them. I love that. And that actually brings us right to there. And I'm so perfect, happy that you said that. What is it you do for your career? Let's just jump there.
Yeah. So I founded a video production business in 2015. And, you know, it's been a bit of a journey. It's been a roller coaster. But one of the things that I found was that, you know, I was just shouting at everyone saying, hey, you gotta have video. Like, I was just another one of those voices out in the marketplace telling people how powerful video is. But I saw that opportunity for, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs who are not creating video content to grow the business.
Right.
And I'm just trying to figure that out. And I realized, even for me, there was this discomfort with talking into a lens or just getting the messaging right and, you know, stuttering, getting stuck in front of the camera, not feeling confident. Mm-hmm. And so I have made a decision to evolve empowering video from a production-focused business into one that empowers people to create their own video content with their smartphones. Because I believe that, you know, you already have all of the stuff that you need to create videos. And if you're not doing it, then there's something holding you back. And maybe you just need a little bit of guidance.
That's the most, yeah, it can be one time. Have you ever, I think everybody's had this happen. You're doing something, it's maybe with technology and it's new. And there's just one thing. And if you were on the other side of it, and that one tiny thing would just fix everything. But you can spend hours and frustration and then think you're, you know, not smart enough to figure it out. And like, it can be really funny how this one little tweak or one little piece of information, if you knew it, would just make it all work.
I can't tell you how many times that's happened where it's like I had, you know, the little voices in the head telling me that, you know, whatever, I can't do this, or you're not cut out for it, and like all this stuff. But then once you actually push through it, you discover that, you know, that wasn't actually that hard. And I actually enjoyed doing that. And now I got to keep doing it.
Yes, keep doing it. Oh, there's something in your, wait a second. Oh, that was a big thing. I'm going to just word it my own way here, but you mentioned something really, it came through for me is that, yeah, you got to keep doing it. It's not about just doing it once, but you just have to get, it's not comfortable, but I guess you build your confidence as you become more comfortable, right?
For sure. I mean, probably the biggest tip I could share with anyone right now is just start filming yourself and make it a habit. Schedule it in and do like 10 minutes and use your phone. It don't have to have a fancy setup, but just practice it and don't even post the content. Don't share it with anybody if you're not comfortable doing that, but get in the habit of practicing filming yourself, because for me, that has made a tremendous difference.
And why is it so, we're very visual people, obviously, but do you think it helps build the connection better? Like why video? Why is it important?
Eye contact is one thing. You know, when you can look at someone and it feels like they're speaking to you directly, there's a connection there. And you can share a story at the same time, then that's, you know, as a human being, I mean, there's very few other ways that are more powerful than connecting through that. And the biggest thing I found was, you know, when you're sharing a message, who are you focused on? If you're focused on talking just about yourself, then mm-hmm. it might kind of fall on deaf ears. But when you get in the habit and practice of focusing on your customers and the problems that they're going through, and you're able to connect with people and show understanding through video, that can be very powerful.
It is. It's like a support system. Like somebody, I know so many times I've gone to look something up, whatever it might be, and on go to YouTube, and it's that when I hear them talk about something, I'm like, oh, that's me. That's the problem right there. Oh, they went through it. They know what they're doing. They have an answer. I need that.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what everybody wants, right? We don't want to bump into another hero. We're looking for a guide to help us solve our problems.
Right. Okay, I'm going to ask a big question about video that a lot of people might be thinking, okay, I'm here. Matt thinks I should do this. I believe in him. He sounds really great. But I'm going to get in front of the video, and I don't look good on film. Or I'm old, I'm ugly, I'm fat. All those fears of judgment. Do you think it matters? Like, I mean, I watch a lot of videos that are all walks of life. I mean, bad hair, great hair, you know, like just all swearing, no swearing, you know. And so how important is it? Like, how big is our fear about being judged? Does it matter?
It's huge. And that was the number one thing that held me back. I mean, I was the guy behind the camera filming other people and helping them extract their story. But I had this thing, the self-talk going on in my head that prevented me from getting in front of the camera.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I was definitely afraid of judgment, for sure. And I think a lot of people go through that. And, you know, unless you're a model, I don't know. But you're right. There is people from all walks of life that are creating videos and growing their business. And it definitely takes some inner reflection and some inner game work to overcome those things. And honestly, it doesn't necessarily go away, but there are tools that you can equip yourself with to deal with that self-judgment.
I think that's the toughest one. People think, oh, I don't like my voice and I don't like this. But I love what you said. If you're folk, who are you talking to? Well, who is your message for? Is it about just you and your experiences? Like, it's great to have you share your story, but you're sharing your story for a bigger reason. Legacy reason.
For sure.
When it comes to videos, here's a big one. You said, if anybody's got an iPhone or something, you know what, just start there, we can do this. But a lot of people, you think, no, like I need lighting, I need miking, the setup and the tools and all that. How far are we? Like, what's the scale of importance that we need big stuff?
I made a big mistake in the beginning when I started the video business. I mean, I was just investing in gear to fill a gap in confidence. I spent $20,000 to $30,000 on video equipment. And, you know, self-reflection made me realize that I didn't necessarily need any of that stuff in order to grow my business with video. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to technology, you know, lighting and audio is important for sure. You want to sound good. You want to have good lighting. And that stuff doesn't have to be as complicated as we might think it is. And it doesn't have to be expensive either. I mean, Amazon is an amazing place for
it is.
Really affordable gear that can up your game. I mean, just using headphones with your phone is going to improve your audio quality.
And,
I mean, if you kind of focus on the quality too much and you allow that to hold yourself back, then you're just not going to make the progress you need. You really do have to overcome that and just get started. And like I said, you don't have to post the content. Just build a habit around practicing filming yourself talking into a camera.
Yeah, it's like I'm having a private portfolio, you know, just something that it also gets stuff out. Like sometimes you want to just do a mind dump, you know, and then you've got it on video. I have to tell you the funniest, I don't know if it's called a recording hack or whatever, but I had to do something and I couldn't get to the studio. So I was like, oh, I really need to send this. But I have a lot of pops in my speech, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
And Matt, I was told, my partner's doing some stuff. He goes, you got put some pantyhose over the speaker, just on your phone.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it worked. I was like, shut up, that's crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to take the pops out.
No, and I was like, God, that's like, I happen to have a pair. I know they're old school, but I was like, this is great. But if I didn't, I could have ran to the dollar store and for, you know, like that 50 cents or something to fix it.
Yeah.
But, so you actually help teach people, not like tips like pantyhose stuff, but how do you help people with their confidence and these obstacles that are stopping them before they can get out to video for their business?
Yeah, so I'm working on a course right now. I'll be releasing for August 1st. That
cool.
is going to help people get more comfortable in front of the camera. And a lot of that is actually, interestingly enough, what you touched on earlier was overcoming the self-judgment and the fears, because if you don't work on that, then you're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a free course, and I'm excited to release that. It's something that, I've gone through myself. I totally get it. I understand what people are going through there. Mm-hmm. And so I also do strategy sessions with people, and I help them extract their messaging. And I actually work with them to develop a buyer persona for their ideal customer so that they have like a one-page sheet of paper PDF that can get them into the mind frame of who their customer is and what they're dealing with. And I absolutely love helping people with that. We all need help with it. I'm one of those people too. Like, it's very hard to come up with your own messaging strategy and extract your story in a way that focuses on your customer all by yourself. It's nearly impossible. You need some guidance there. And so that's one of the services that I offer right now.
I actually wrote this down, I copied it for what you said. You wrote, you can be too close, you wrote in your words, too close to their own brand to simplify and clarify the message in a way that attracts the ideal customer. And I love that because, you know, it's funny. I'm an idea business person. I could come up with probably 10 businesses every day, and they're actually pretty decent, you know. But then when I come to marketing, one of them, I think, oh my gosh, that there's way too much in my, I know too much about it, that I no longer. And I love that you use that term buyer persona. Quick question, this is a unique question. Even if you're not in business, is that a helpful exercise to actually just run through and put yourself into a buyer persona? Just to get through some judgments? Like, would that help?
For sure. I mean, you can use that process to just better understand people. And, you know, you kind of start off with demographics, but the real point is to get down to how they think, feel, what are their belief patterns.
Yeah.
And when you can show that you truly understand somebody and what they're going through, then you can have more impact. It's not about conversion. I mean, yes, that's an important metric in business.
Mm-hmm.
But even if your career, you want to better understand people, creating a persona for somebody, giving them a name, and just, it doesn't even have to be perfect. It's, you know, a work of fiction, so to speak, because you're grouping an entire demographic of people into this one persona, but it gives you perspective on what they're going through and helping you understand what those challenges are that they're facing.
Actually, that's one thing I love that you shared too. What a great point to bring up is it's not going to be perfect. Just pick one and then see, because you, in fact, actually started out videoing real estate.
That's true.
Like, yep. It's so different, but you didn't know if it was going to be the one or not. You did think it, like, right at the time.
Yeah.
And so you picked one, and then was it hard to, what helped you come to the decision? Like, this isn't for me. It's something different.
So intentional congruency is like a compass for my life. So if something doesn't feel like it's in alignment, there's no passion around it. If it gets to that point, it's a sign that you should probably remove it. If you're not thrilled with your work, then why are you doing it? And that comes back to the legacy. Like, we have a finite amount of time here on Earth in our lives, and you should spend as much of your time as you possibly can doing the things that light you up. And so I discovered that, filming empty homes, while I could make money at it, wasn't necessarily the kind of business that I wanted to build and scale, and I couldn't get excited about it. So that's how it wasn't congruent with my values. And it takes that internal reflection and just making a list of all of the stuff that you really love to do, and then trying to find the themes that connect them together.
Ah, I like that. Connecting the themes. Yes, and I love that you said the word light you up. Like, we need a world with more lit up people. You know, so many people are dim. And you light them up, and you can teach them. Like, yeah, I guess I'm pretty sure your course is going to teach them. Is your course to help teach them how to do it themselves, or is your course to help them find the person to do it with them?
The first course is going to be to help people overcome that little voice in the head that's preventing them from doing it.
Okay.
There's going to be lots of courses. I love teaching. I love training. And that was something that I had left behind when I left my career in telecommunications to go full-time on my business in video.
Oh.
I left that piece behind, and that's why I realized, I can film these empty homes, but I don't have an opportunity to share and teach. And that was something that was very important to me. So that's why I love creating courses online.
Okay, I'm going to have to work with you. All right. Okay. It's so funny. I love creating courses, but I don't actually like doing things on the computer. And I think I've shared that with you. A lot of people have that fear, because I'm looking at, like, it's a scary machine. There's so much going on there. I could lose something. Do I trust it? Where can I find it? What can I do? So I'm really happy that you are creating this course and offering it. And that is a big obstacle for a lot of people. There's something that you wrote. A friend helped you do this, and they said, once you become aware of something, you just can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was like you're expressing that even when you were filming the empty houses, like you knew you loved training. So it's hard to live every day not lit up.
Yeah. That tidbit is honestly something that comes back reoccurring on a very regular basis for me. If I notice that, I'm showing up a certain way, or I'm interacting with people a certain way, and there's, a result that's maybe, you get an argument with somebody. Like, we're all human beings. We're not perfect, right? We're going to deal with stuff with people. And so I look back now and I see, was I really showing up the way that I wanted to in that situation? Mm-hmm. And that self-awareness, it's like, okay, no, I wasn't. So what am I going to do about it?
I actually wrote down your line there. It says, you want to make better choices about how I wanted to show up for people. And I love it. It wasn't just for you. It's for other people. And that's such a cool way right now, for listeners. You are when you show up, it's not just for you. Everybody's around you, and you change the vibration. There's a whole feeling around it.
You create an energy with your presence, even if you're not saying anything.
Right. Just sitting there. Like, remember, if you've been on a bus before, you don't know anybody, but you can feel like what it feels like to be sitting beside somebody.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, how many times have you been out and walking down the street and somebody smiles at you, and that just feels nice, But then you see someone else and you, glance and catch eyes for a second, and that person's not in a good space, or maybe you're not in a good space, and it's coming through, and you can see the reaction. You can feel that energy.
Oh, that is so true. Well, I would love to take this time to do a special invitation for everybody, because you have a free gift that you'd like to give everybody that's listening and will be listening to the replay, and then how to reach people, how they can reach you to find out just more about you and what you can do and help them.
Yeah, for sure. So I created a checklist. This is just to kind of get started. If you haven't really been filming yourself yet, or maybe you tried it a couple of times, I created a checklist. It's called 7 Tips to Speak with Confidence When Filming Yourself. And you can get that at the website tribe.empoweringvideo.com/checklist.
Okay, we'll post that link to you.
Awesome. Yeah, and then you can reach out to me on Facebook, Matthew E. Bigger. It's Matthew E. Bigger. And that's probably the big one I'm most active on, LinkedIn as well. Those are great places to reach out and check out the website, empoweringvideo.com.
Oh, and I'm going to have to get with you on LinkedIn there. Yes, I love LinkedIn. There was one thing I just want to mention there. Oh, and everybody, you guys got to get the book and read these chapters. It's Obstacles Equal Opportunities. This is the Enlightened Journey. They're all good. Like all of the, each chapter offers something different. And I'm so happy that you were able to come and share with this, because this is important. We want to have successful businesses, and we want to do it in a way that feels good. And it sounds like you're really helping to show us. Everybody, get your free tips on how to speak with confidence in front of the camera there, and reach out to Matt, you know, and say, hey, I need some help. Thank you so much, Matt, for being here today. I just really enjoyed reading your chapter and having you here.
Thank you.
Okay, bye, everyone. Well, actually, for commercial breaks, then we're going to come back and we're going to be bringing on our next co-author of Obstacles Equal Opportunities. So stick around. We'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Obstacles equal opportunities.
Are you living without success in your life? Are there obstacles that you need to overcome to create that success? Challenging circumstances, feeling vulnerable, afraid to be authentic, lacking or even feeling like you've lost your personal power. Light on Living has just the interview series to help you ignite your confidence and your personal drive to overcome whatever challenges you face. Join us every Monday in July to learn how these entrepreneurs overcame damaging business experiences, financial ruin, and personal hardships as they show you how to move forward with poise, grace, and insight. So get your copy of Obstacles Equal Opportunities, Volume 2, The Enlightened Journey, and join us as we go live with these empowered authors.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt Pure Love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we have our second co-author of Obstacles Equal Opportunities, The Enlightened Journey. I hope you guys all have your copy and are reading through and following us along as we get to have a chat with each of these co-authors. We have Kristen Herr with us today, and I'm going to read her bio in just a little minute here, but I want to welcome her to the show. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited.
Oh, it is really exciting. It's such a lovely opportunity for me to be able to just chat with the co-authors and then, you know, because they can read your chapter and they'll get to know you on such an intimate, hurried thing, but then they want to, you know, hear from you.
So, well, it's super exciting to be able to share my story and hopefully help some people along the way.
Yeah, you have you really went emotion. There's a lot of emotion in yours, I have to say. I was rooting you, you know, rooting for you along the way. And I was like, no. And then I was like, yes, no, yes. I'll share this a little bit here with everybody first, and we'll jump right in. But everyone, Kristen, which is Kristin Herr, was born and raised in Tupelo. I think I said that right. MS.
That's right.
Oh, good, thank gosh. Actually, reminds me of the word Tupperware, and I like it. Well, Kristen Herr knew at a young age she wanted to explore different parts of the world while living life to the fullest. Kristen studied marketing at the University of Southern MS, but had a calling to become a cosmetologist because she loved making people feel good, and it does. She left college behind to pursue her passion and moved to Mandeville, LA, to study cosmetology. After graduation, Kristen moved to Santa Cruz, CA, California, where she landed a job managing an Aveda concept salon. Kristen has been on a journey of self-transformation and self-love. In this process, she found her true calling as an entrepreneur. She now has a professional coaching practice helping women overcome limiting beliefs so that they can take their careers to the next level and live the life they were destined to. She now lives in Truckee, yeah, California, in the Sierra Mountains with her husband and 2-year-old son. Aw, it just sounds like, travels all around the place here.
I moved around a lot there for a while, but I finally found my, I think we're going to stay here.
Oh.
For the last 8 years, so this is where we want to raise our son. We moved here because we wanted to start a family and get married and all that, and thought that in the Sierra Mountains and in Truckee, California, would be a great place to do that. And so far, it's true.
Yeah, your intuition was right. You know, it's anchoring is really important, especially as your bio even really talks about it's so funny because Matt, who we talked a lot about limiting beliefs, overcoming them, and then taking your career to the next level. And you know what? Your home life and your family life and having that anchor and that solid, you know, trusting, it's a bit, how you actually can share with us, how important is it to have that anchoring part when you're dealing with like so many limiting beliefs that we have when we carry around with us?
Well, I think it's extremely important. And, you know, part of my journey and transformation is, you know, I didn't have that for a lot of my life. And I chose relationships that I was in serious relationships with people that did not serve me. They were toxic. And all I did was feed that inner unworthiness instead of helping me overcome it. And when I finally, you know, left all that behind, and, you know, it's funny because the reality is I had come to a point in my life where I was like, I don't need a man. I don't want a man. I'm completely fine being alone. And that's when I met my husband. And, you know, and having him and just seeing how different he was, you know, he didn't have the look of the super hot guy that I would normally like to go for. But he was different, and he was, you know, just, you know, I was attracted to him, his personality. And what I can say is that no one ever said anything negative about him. No one. And I found that really enlightening, you know, because I had never had that. Even the men that I were with in the past, you know, some people always said negative things about me. I mean, I was warned about things in the relationship with them, but you know, I was, you know, love is blind, lust is blind, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it at the time. And I ignored a lot of the warning signs. So to find my husband and to be on this journey, and he's been super supportive of me in so many ways, emotionally, and everything that I am doing, and just my biggest cheerleader and biggest fan. And it's very nice to have that. And he's my anchor and my rock. And, you know, he's a wonderful father, and he's a wonderful husband. And I'm so grateful for him and for our relationship.
You know, that is so neat that you just kicked that right off with such being appreciative and having gratitude, because, you know, right away, you can already feel from you that you're like an example of when we live our lives and we wake up with that feeling of appreciation. Like, you can just feel joy coming right through this phone, you know?
And you know, it's about having joy in our life. And for a long time, I didn't have joy in my life. And I was one of those people who would say, well, when this happens, I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of work. And what I finally realized is that you can choose joy no matter what. And it's finding the gratitude and the small things. And I start my morning, most mornings, with writing 10 things I'm grateful for. And I try to pay attention as I go throughout my day of little small things, whether it's my warm cup of coffee or the dog, wet nose dog kisses, the giggles of my son. I mean, but you know, it really is it's the little things that bring joy into my life. I mean, sure, the big things are great too, but it's the day to day, the little things. If we can stop and recognize them, you're going to have more joy in your life.
Yes, absolutely. The funny little story, yesterday I had to slip out to a convenience store, and I don't usually, but I was out of some things, and, you know, kitty cats needed their treats. And so I went there, and it was so funny. I think I'm addicted to being appreciative. It's just so much fun that when the store fellow, the store owner said goodbye, he goes, oh, thank you so much for coming. And I said, well, thank you for existing, you know, and I was like, oh my God, okay, that's you have to stop. Well, I love what you said about two things. I want to roll this into one. About something, you were choosing relationships that weren't serving you. And I want to ask about that, but I love that you mentioned you had a look that you were attracted to. You know, some people have a job that they're attracted to because of the money. They have a man or a woman they're attracted to because of the look. But you said there's something that it was like the shiny package was on the inside. And what do you mean? Like, share with people what that means, like a relationship that serves you.
Well, you know, before, you know, I like the guys, the typical good-looking, blue-eyed, brown hair, blonde hair guy, you know, I was attracted to that, but it was all superficial. Doesn't mean that they didn't have some personality traits. But when I met my husband, he did not have that look. He was attractive. I'm not saying that he isn't attractive.
Yeah, we got to put him up here.
He didn't have that look that I would normally be attracted to. But the more I spent time with him, I mean, our first 6-7 dates together were with a group of people. They weren't even just the two of us. Mm. But the more I hung out with him and I got to see how people interacted with him, how he interacted with others, and all the positive things that were said about him, and just his outgoing personality, and how he truly cared. You know, at the end of the day, he cared. I could tell that he genuinely cared about me. He wasn't trying to rush into, you know, a relationship, like a serious relationship with me. It was a slow thing. And I think that when, you know, in our society, everything's so fast moving, when we can stop and really get to know someone on that level before we take our relationships to a more intimate level, it just makes it more special. And you also really get to know that person more. And the beauty of it with my husband, that really I knew that he was different when we were dating, is I had just gotten out of a really bad physically and emotionally abusive relationship. I felt broken in a lot of ways. And I could talk to him about that, and there was no judgment. He listened to me through and through, and he actually helped me process some of that. And I have never experienced that with another person, because normally another man would be like, I don't want to hear about your ex-boyfriend. You know,
exactly.
instead of hearing me acknowledging what I went through and helping me process it in another way and giving me a different perspective and helping me. And that to me was like, wow, you really are somebody different.
I just love that, you know, that somebody being there. And actually, that's what us coaches do. We, you know, if you don't have, you know, a man or a woman, something like, you know, your partner there, that's what coaching really helps you do, helps them process it. I have a question about limiting beliefs and how does one, what would be a nice little helpful tip for listeners to go, okay, I have some limiting beliefs about my worth and, you know, I'm therefore choosing these bad situations or relationships or places. How do they get from there to opening up and allowing someone to care for them?
Well, at the end of the day, the main thing you have to do is you have to start recognizing them. And most limiting beliefs come from our subconscious. We don't even know that they're there. All we know is we get a feeling or we see a pattern of choices and we don't know why we keep making these same choices that mm-hmm. we know are not serving us, whether, you know, me, I was choosing poor relationships, even though the warning signs were there. And, you know, we keep doing it over and over. So my recommendation, and this is something that I actually even learned from Dr. Shannon Irvine, is you got to start paying attention. And, you know, thoughts that come into your mind like I'm stuck or I'm ugly or I'm not worthy, you know, a lot of times they don't come into our subconscious like that. They come into ways of procrastination. They come into mm-hmm. ways of making other choices that aren't serving us, but we don't understand that it's really a core belief. And you have to, and I know I keep saying that, but you have to pay attention. And the way I have done this is have a piece of paper with me and I start writing down if any thought or a feeling comes to me, that feeling came from a thought that I really don't realize. I start asking my question, why am I feeling this way? Ooh. And then I write it down so I can start acknowledging and see where the beliefs are, what they are. And then you have to start changing them. And it all has to do with how you're talking to yourself. What do you feed in your mind? You know, we do control our thoughts. It's very simple to do, but it's also very simple not to do. And that's yeah. why so many people don't change, because they give up after like 3 or 4 days because this isn't working. But it takes 67 days to completely create a new belief where it is taking over the toxic one.
Oh, is that, it was 67 days to kind of get the, oh, 66, sorry. Oh, this pattern, habit, new belief, because that's really what a belief is. It's something you've just been thinking about over and over and over again.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And big question for me, why do we ignore warning signs?
I think it's because of unworthiness. I feel like it stems from feeling unworthy, like unworthy of a healthy relationship. So you go with a guy who, you know, my ex-boyfriend, his mother, this doesn't tell you how crazy I was at the time, and ignoring what warning signs is. His own mother called me and warned me not to move in with him.
Oh.
And she was like, and, you know, she called me and told me, and she told me about some things that had happened, and I ignored them. I don't say 100% ignore them. I think that's like, well, he won't do that to me.
Right.
It was more of that. It was yes. more of like, he's changed, or I can make him better, or I love him so much that he won't behave that way to me. And that is, like, kind of crazy. If you think about it now, it's like, why do you think you're any different?
That makes a lot of sense, though, because really, you just, this is a perfect, thank you, because I'm thinking, okay, so a warning sign comes up warning you what could happen, and then we have to stand there and say, yeah, do I believe that could happen? I've got a different history, so maybe that won't happen to me, because we want an outcome that we want. Or like what you also said is, we probably could be just justifying some things because we do have maybe low self-esteem, low confidence. And I would love for you to share, just, I love that you said sometimes things come up in different ways, like procrastination. Do we procrastinate living our best life out of fear?
Oh, absolutely. I think most people make the decisions based out of fear. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have been in a state of fear for the last 2 weeks. I'm getting audited by the IRS, and you want to talk about, like, fear, because you're getting everything together, and there's just, like, this sense of anxiety around it, regardless, you know. I mean, the worst-case scenario, we have to pay more money, but it's time-consuming. It's very stressful, and it really has caused me some anxiety and fear, but I recognize that, okay, this is fear that is coming into my life. It's really not necessary. You know, regardless of the outcome, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And most people, you know, think like our being, our DNA is to, from the time that, you know, we were created to be fearful of, to stay, you know, we want to stay alive, to be fearful of the tiger who is about to try to kill us, you know, back in the day. But now fear shows up in our lives, and I think it controlled my life for a very long time. And not to say I have different struggles and things that come up now, but I get through them a little faster and I recognize them. But so many of our choices are based out of fear. We're afraid we stay in the job we hate because we're afraid that if there's that sense of security, it's a false sense of security because you've been at that job for how many years that you hate the job that you do. So you're afraid to take the chance to either A, get a new job, or to go on your own and do something else because it's uncertainty and it's the unknown. So we stay in that fear. People who are in abusive relationships, I used to say if a man ever hit me, I would leave. And then here I was in a relationship where I was getting physically and emotionally abused for 2 years, and I stayed. And it's out of fear because the unknown, even though the known where you are is a terrible situation, the unknown for people is even more fearful. It's why people stay in marriages that are unhealthy, toxic relationships, jobs they hate. They're afraid to make that move because of fear, when in the end, it could be like the biggest blessing of their lives.
Yes, I like that. It's the unknown. It's like, that's why we turn on a light when we're scared of the dark. You know, we want to see something. We need to see something and feel like we know it, whether it's true or not. You and I talked before about, I love this, how a lot of people suffer in silence, and it can be because of shame or a lack of judgment. And I have to tell you, now I can laugh at it now. It's not, I almost can't laugh, but I received an email that was one of those scams, like a blackmail scam email, and sure. saying that they hacked into my stuff. I have to tell you this, I couldn't believe that I actually respond this way. I was so scared that it would happen that I couldn't tell anybody because I actually believed it. And then I was so, I even broke down crying, and I called my dad. I was like, oh my God. But I'm so glad that, because you're right, I was so scared and I was suffering in the silence going, I did something wrong. I let my password out. I did this, or, oh my gosh, everybody's going to believe the suffer. I got, you know, all these things ran through my mind and none of them were true, but I was scared. And so when you talked about, you know, you don't suffer in silence, how can you share with people, just talk to somebody, how do they do that? How do they get past that? Like, I was shameful, whatever the word is, like I was afraid. How do people step past that to get help?
You know, it all comes with making a decision. And for me, like even writing the chapter in my book, you know, I put a lot of personal, you've read my chapter, personal stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I mean, as I was writing my chapter, I even cried because it's just really, I'm going to like cheer up now. It really helped me process a lot of stuff that I had dealt with in my life, and to understand why I made the choices I did, and, you know, and be grateful for everything that I overcome. And what I have realized through this whole process is people need to hear your story. And we live in shame. We're shameful we're in an unhealthy marriage. We're shameful we hate that our jobs. We're shameful we're overweight and we're binge eating. And we don't want people to see the real us and show our vulnerability, because when you put it all out there, somebody might judge you. And it's that fear of being judged. What are other going to think? What are other people going to think about me? And my recommendation is just do it. Just make the decision. I need to speak up for myself. I need to go talk to someone, whatever that is. And everybody has a story. Everybody has something that can touch someone, that can help them. And that is what has made me step out of my shell and have the bravery, really, because at the end of the day, it's bravery to put myself out there in this way, because I know that there is somebody that I am meant to help that only I can help. And I feel that way, that that is the case with everyone, because Lisa, you might have someone that you can talk to that only you can help, that only they're only going to resonate with you. Mm-hmm. And I feel that that is the case with everyone. You know, there could be 20,000 life coaches, but I can only resonate with one person and help them and have that connection. And that's what it's just making the decision today. I'm going to share my story. I'm going to talk to someone. I'm going to start making the steps necessary to make some changes, if that's what you want. I mean, if your life is perfect and great, you know, but I still believe that no matter how good your life is, I believe that you've had some hardships. Everyone's had some hardships, and that by sharing those hardships and things that you've overcome, that you can make a difference.
That's what I love your message of it. You had a two part there, because you wrote your story to be able to be brave and share it, and you can process it. But you also knew that by putting that story out there, judgment or not, there's going to be somebody who might. It's so funny because I was reading your story and. There's certain things in my life I went, oh my gosh, I went through similar things or this or that, and you actually helped me process it, you know. So even just by reading the chapter, like, that's why I love telling people, and I should remind you, do a friendly, gentle reminder that the book, everybody, is called Obstacles Equal Opportunities, and it's The Enlightened Journey. And it really is all these authors, they weren't authors, but they became authors, or they are authors, and then they shared their story. But is this your first chapter, or are you in others?
Yeah, this is my first chapter. I've never written before, and I actually had to consolidate my chapter a little bit because I have a lot in there. Heather was like, maybe you should just write a whole book. I probably could, but I dipped my feet in the water, and I was really grateful to have the opportunity to share my story. And it was a great experience for me, and it was one where it did help me process things even further by putting it all out there for the world to see. It's not always easy, but and you know, I felt like that I really tapped into my emotion, and I hope that the readers can feel that as well, the emotion behind my story, and because, you know, it's not always easy doing that.
And so when you right now, as if you're coaching practice in your business there, can you use this chapter in the story, or is it different? What kind of coaching do you do?
Okay, well, I'm a certified life coach. My main focus is helping women in business who are struggling to take their lives to the next level. Maybe you're a working mom and you just feel like you're meant for more. And to really, I'm really big on the mindset, because that is where the magic starts happening, because you can do all these different things and take all these courses and, you know, create new funnels and do all these things. But if you don't really deal with the limiting beliefs, you're going to struggle. And when you really deal with the limiting beliefs and you start making that shift is when the magic starts to happen, is all I like to say. So, you know, I help people, you know, identify what it is they truly want, gain some clarity there, because a lot of people aren't even really sure. Mm-hmm. And then we create a plan. But while we're doing that, we also dive into the mindset piece of it, and I help hold them accountable. I actually have an 8-week program that I put together that is, it's called Making Mindset Moves, and it's all about this and the accountability piece, and where you have weekly coaching calls with me and that accountability, and help you process all this. And so you can take your life and your business to the next level, whatever that is. You know, and especially with working moms, we have a lot on their plate. I'm not just to women, but I do gravitate toward them more, because I feel, in my experience, women struggle with this more than men. They struggle more with unworthiness. They don't know why they're stuck. They don't know why they make the decisions they do, and they don't know why. They know that they're meant for more, but they're not quite sure why, what's holding them back, and how they get there.
I love that you're, and it's so right. And I love that you highlighted that a lot of people need clarity even on what they're what their life looks like and what they want. That's a big one, because you have to have a lot of self-value and worth to say, hey, I need to sit down and just be with myself for a minute to figure this out. I want to let everybody know that it is www.kristenherr.com, and also you can go check her out on Facebook and find you there, Kristen Herr again, and you've got a lovely picture, of course. You got your cosmetology going on there. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
But Kristen, thank you so much for being a part of this. I hope that, you know what, I know that the right women are men, but women who are listening and feel like, yeah, I connect. I want to reach out and just start doing this and figuring out how I can get to that next level. Also, just a huge thank you for being a part of this.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I do want to say one thing about our website is it's about to be going live. It's not going there here. It's any moment now, but it's almost done. But, you know, if someone does want to reach out to me, find me on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn. Check me out. Send me a message. I'll be happy to do a 15-minute complimentary discovery call with you to see if coaching is a fit for you or not. And thank you, Lisa, so much for having me on. I completely appreciate it. And it's been an enlightening journey for myself this whole process.
Oh, you guys are just all so wonderful. Again, everybody, pick up your Obstacles, Equal Opportunities, The Enlightened Journey. Thank you for saying that one again. And I'm really going to give thumbs up to LinkedIn here. There's another one. I'm going to go find you guys both right now, Matt and you. All right, everybody, stay tuned for yet another co-author we have coming up. Daniel Lynn is going to be next, and we are so happy to have you here. Okay, thanks, Kristen. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Minds connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. Perfect way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Minds connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Back, everybody. We are continuing the series here, the interview series of Obstacles, Equal Opportunities, and we have our next author with us here now, and her name is Danielle Lynn, and I'm going to share a little bit about her, but there's something that pops up in her chapter that really got me in the beginning, and I am dying to ask her all about, well, everything, but even specifically, and she doesn't know this, the toxic relationships. And I think a lot of people might find those to be really big obstacles that they're facing, those toxic relationships, and what to do about them, because I think she has some interesting ways of looking at life. Let me greet you about Daniel Lynn. And hello there, I know you're here, so hello.
Hi, thank you so much. That's such a great introduction.
Oh, yeah, I know, I haven't even got there yet, but, you know, that did pop up, and I was like, she's not even an organizer, but this is good, because we all have that obstacle. But I'll share with people why you're an awesome person to have, you know, teach us about this and help us with it, is that Daniel Lynn is originally from New Castle, Pennsylvania, and she resides in East Palestine. I'm going to say, is it Palestine? Palestine, yes.
Actually, it's East Palestine, but when you look at the spelling, it looks Palestine.
I knew, I could feel it. It was like, don't send me wrong, don't, it had vibration around it.
Yep, everyone does that.
Oh, good thing. See, I'm not the only one. And that is in Ohio, and you live there with your husband. So with 19 years of social work and counseling experience, Danielle earned a Bachelor of Science degree through Slippery Rock University and holds a Master's in Social Work through the University of Pittsburgh. She's currently an addictions counselor in Pennsylvania, as well as best-selling author, woohoo, on Amazon.
Woohoo!
Yay! Danielle had her first solo publishing, though, in 2019 with an inspiration planner. So cool, again, focusing on the teachings of gratitude. And with these publishing, Danielle has reconnected with her alumni, Slippery Rock University, having her publishing featured in the university bookstore. Very cool. Danielle's publishings can also be found at Leanna's Bookstore in Hermitage, I think, Pennsylvania.
And Hermitage, PA.
Hermitage. Oh. The Hermitage. I like it.
You're butchering it.
I'm butchering it.
That would be hard, though.
Well, thank you for being gentle there. Well, and then even with your busy career, Danielle has many hobbies and interests. She enjoys being outdoors, spending time with her family and close friends, relaxing with her pets, that's my favorite one, and taking woodworking, reading, writing, cooking, and taking motorcycle rides with her husband. Oh, that's so fun. And anybody on your Facebook page will see just how much, first of all, that you love your husband, but you love your life and you love your life with your husband. And it just exudes from you. You're just, it's just.
Aw, yeah. Thank you. Yes. We haven't been married very long. We just celebrated our second year anniversary.
Oh,
but we moved to Ohio. We bought our house a year before that, and everything has been just kind of falling into play here. So. It's been amazing, yeah. It's beautiful out here, and we're very lucky and blessed.
Oh, and you know, it's such appreciation, so no wonder you did a gratitude planner.
I really do. Like, it's taken me a long time, but the longer I've been a counselor and then even getting into writing and learning about publishing, I'm all about trying to recognize gratitude, and I love inspirational quotes. So I have them even in my office for my full-time job. You'll see quotes even throughout the house here. Like, that's just, it's something that keeps me upbeat. And if it sticks out and applies to me, like, it's like I want to write it down or I want to put it somewhere.
Yes, exactly. I feel the same way. And it is, when you see them, like, you're in a bad mood and you're walking down the hall to go pee, you know, in your bathroom, but then you see that little sticky note on the linen closet,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're like, oh, and it just, yeah, those reminders. Well,
yep, it is.
Let me use that question as my toxic relationship question. Ah, geez. That just seemed like such, how many people right now they're listening and they're like, yeah, I do. I have, like, it's my mother maybe. It's my, I mean, really close relationships can be toxic. How do we stay positive and turn that obstacle, toxic relationship, into an opportunity?
You know what? With this being my second compilation book, I know even in my first one, I touched base on toxic relationships because one big thing that I learned about myself and even, you know, recognizing with other people's behaviors, attitude, and like how we treat one another is that when we're in it, like we're stuck in it or we feel like we're stuck or we don't even know, but the influence of other people and how we, like, mimic not just mannerisms, but we start to even believe things that the other individual says, Even if they're like talking about other people, if they are saying things over and over to us, and then sometimes we start to believe it. And with, it's such a transition, like in friendships in my life. And then, you know, I'm a divorced woman, and then being remarried, just looking at the amount of people that I really do care about, but that has come and gone from my life. It's made me look at like how I've changed through the years, but also the influence of other people, the major influence like they've also had on me, but not just in a positive way, but also in a negative way. That when you're in the relationship, you're in the friendship, that even if it's a close family member, you don't always recognize that because you care about them so much. Right. And like we're looking for acceptance and to be part of their life because you really do care about them. So going through this whole process and just, like I said, being divorced and like friendships changing through the years, I really had a chance like to sit and look at myself and people who I have close to me now and people that used to be close to me but are no longer in my life now.
And that is, that's how, I have to say, I love that you just said care can cover up. That is so, because you care about them. And what you just said, we had a guest, one of your co-authors, Todd, on last week's show, and he, you know, specifically talked about how, you know, people in your life change as you grow, like the circle of friends, the circle of support. So sometimes what they're helping to support you in one way, it may be a lesson, or it may be, you know, maybe one you didn't want to learn, but one you needed to. But I, that was actually intense what you just said about how we treat one another. And you said sometimes we can mimic mannerisms if we're around people for, for long enough.
Well, I've noticed like even phrases and stuff, or maybe just how I feel like about something that, it, you know, I didn't think, and I'm thinking, oh, it's because I say that or I'm feeling that way. But then if you really look back, like who you usually surround yourself with, like 9 out of 10 times, even your mannerisms or the way that you'll express something on certain topics, you could feel like similar ways or maybe just a major influence about the other person. And we're easily like pulled in, you know, and we don't even see it. And now it's like the older that I have been getting that I, and like I said, the whole transition, like within my life, I feel like every 10 years, it's like I've learned something new about myself. And I've learned something new, like about relationships, about how I fit into the world, what my comfort is, like learning more of what I need for my self-care. I feel like every 10 years, it's like I'm a new person, if that makes sense.
I love that. I actually have a fun title for you if you're thinking of another book, Different Every Decade.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? I have been trying to think of something. This is funny. I have been trying to think of something that is, like, just about relationships and life. And I came up with, and I saw a title similar. It said something about the 40th, like, you know, being 40-plus and, like, what you learn. But I'm like, what is the topic for this? Because I really do feel like we change every decade. I really do.
And massively, if we were to look back over that 10-year chunk and that 10-year chunk. And I just think it's so interesting that, I don't know how you feel about this, but they have these, I can't remember, I wish I did, the stages of our life, our entire life, like, you know, when we're the student and then we're the warrior because we're and then we're the nurturer and then we're the wanderer, the wisdom, and then we're the, you know, all those different as we go. And we're supposed to have them so revered. I mean, each stage is important for our growth. I want to bring this back to you mentioning, so you're a solo author, you've been 2 anthologies, and now you're a compiler, actually. So those are definitely different every, you know, thing. But how would you, if you were going to give somebody advice on an obstacle that you're looking back now that you've done these things, what were the obstacles that were holding you back before or to open your eyes to see that this was an opportunity for you?
I think one of the biggest things that I've learned, like in being a new writer, a new author, was I had a tendency to hold back because I didn't want to hurt other people's feelings on stuff. So if something didn't feel right for me or if I was confused about the process, I'm really big on communication, even though I would express that and say that, but if the other person wasn't like falling through on their part so much that it was meeting my needs, I had a tendency to hold back because I didn't want to step on anybody's toes.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to cause, you know, any problems. But then it's like I had to get it through my head at one point. It's that, you know, I'm paying for a service or I'm looking for help, I'm looking for resources. And if individuals are there wanting to help me and they're still staying in my life, then I need to speak up on whatever it is that's not meeting my needs. Not that I don't care about other people's needs, because I actually care about other people's needs a lot. But it's like if it's something just wasn't serving me through the process. So I've learned a lot about that, because last March was my first publishing. That was the first compilation book that I was in. So every project, I would say, like every publishing has been completely different, which is amazing and good because I'm always learning something new. So if I didn't start with, like, who I started with and then the whole process last year, I know for a fact I would not be a compiler right now for the book that I have been interviewing women for probably a good solid 3 months now for the book that I'm compiling.
And to everybody listening, compiler is actually, so every time we do these anthology series and there's multiple, you know, co-authors, and usually like no less than 8, you know, and we've had a few, you know, publishers and stuff with 20, you know, our co-authors, but it's the person, there's a person who actually goes and has to interview each one of these co-authors and really have the integrity of the message to be together. So a compiler's job, you're compiling this book, is rather big. I mean, it is the book.
It is, because it's like being selective. Like, I can vision what I want for the book. It's just finding the right co-authors, you know, and having the stories that I'm looking for to actually compile the book. So it is. There's days that I've done one interview or I've done 4 interviews in a day. So I'll go back to back, and that's after working my full-time job, trying to find the right women, the right stories for the book, so I know it's going to reach the audience that, you know, I'm wanting this to reach.
So it's so neat that you're doing that. We get to talk to you who's doing this, because when Heather Andrews is the compiler for this book, The Obstacle of Legal Opportunities, and now you were in the Your Shift Matters series, right, with Dana Zarcone?
Zarcone. Yeah, Dana Zarcone. Yeah.
I am butchering. I'm right there today.
You are butchering. That's not even a hard name.
I know. You're totally second guessing. So you've really been with some awesome compilers. And so for you to say, what was the thing that said to you, I have to write this, I want to be a compiler? Because that's a step up, you know, that's a step it up.
I think it has to do with what the topic's about. Because the book that I'm compiling is focusing on infertility and miscarriage, pregnancy loss at any stage. And that is so dear to my heart with my own journey and story. Because I've had 5 confirmed miscarriages, and learning and going through the struggles that I have had in trying to be a mom and the different emotions and trying to, like, even connect on a personal level and just trying to find someone to understand how I'm feeling during those times. Because we have a tendency that I've learned, like, I'm not the only one. Just about every woman has said this, like, you go through that process, but you don't usually turn to the people that are closest to you. So it's not just the internet. You could be looking at a resource, you know, a book, just like some type of education, and you're looking for answers. You don't always want someone to tell you, like, sometimes it's not even what you want to hear, because sometimes individuals will say something and it's not what we want to hear at that time, like the whole everything happened for a reason.
Yeah.
And I've heard that a lot through the interviews. And if you're grieving and there's hope and then it's, you have devastation going on, there's so many different emotions. And so learning all this and working with Heather and working with Dana, seeing how, you know, pulling a book together and seeing them being a compiler, I just knew, like, this was something that I had to do and even learn more about. And I chose Dana because she's a licensed therapist. And she's going to share her story in the book as well. So there's 12 women plus Dana myself so far, and I still have a couple more interviews coming up. So they're all amazing women. All the stories are completely different, but unfortunately, our experience are similar, if not the same. And there's also going to be medical advice in the book. So I'm super excited with what I've been working on for months and pulling this together. Like, I cannot wait to see the finished product.
You know, and what I love that we're talking about, right now that book to me and my, how I'm translating this is your opportunity. So you had an obstacle, and then by writing, your chapter actually is called Dreams Do Come True, and it's by Daniel, mm-hmm. Daniel Lynn, everybody. And it's in Obstacles Equal Opportunity. So I was going to ask, was the writing of Dreams Do Come True, was the writing of that, did it help you get over any obstacle to get to this opportunity?
In a way, I really think it did, because I had, as you said in my introduction, my inspirational planner, and my inspirational planner did not go as planned. Like, there's still problems sometimes with the print on Amazon. Whatever the graphics is, it's like things are just not working out right for the print. So then I worked, you know, with the publishing team and selling my own copies from home, and it worked out something that was that way, which was amazing, because that way I was able to have my own copies. But it's, you know, made me look at things a completely different way of, okay, if things don't go as planned, is this ultimately something I still want to work on and work for, or do I have something else that's in my heart that I've been holding back on too? So I think through everything that I have gone through, because that's been a huge obstacle for me, that if I didn't look at things in a different way and work with the team that I had, I would not be working even with people that I'm currently working with now and even helping other people. So, like, even when I said, like, about, like, communication through the process of working, like, two different teams, things that I felt my needs were not met is something I'm making sure, like, if the needs are there and the needs are needing that for the women, like I'm interviewing now and being the compiler, the counselor in me is coming out, and I'm trying to make everything that I felt I needed to make sure everybody else's needs are being met that way too.
I can see how you would do that and are doing that, and what a great way of looking at that as the opportunity, like going, I was in these shoes, and this was my experience, mm-hmm. and I wish I would have that, or I really liked that, so let me make sure I give that to the other, you know, people I'm interviewing. I'm not holding back here either. I'm going to ask this question. When you were mentioning about the planner not going as planned, and I would like to ask you, because you had 5 miscarriages and possibly more, but 5, was that a feeling that was creeping back up like a trigger, like, oh my gosh, this isn't going as planned either. I'm losing this.
Not in connection with that, actually, and I think it's because it's 2 totally different things that I didn't get, like, the same emotion or feeling of that. Okay. I am just a perfectionist in my own way. Okay. So if there are certain things that I'm pouring my heart into and I have control over it, and if I feel my needs are not being met, there are things that I know that I can't have my hands in, though. That's mm-hmm. where I guess the frustration part would be when it comes to, you know, trying to be a mom and the obstacles that I have gone through for that. To me, that is not so much like all my hands there. It could be that maybe if I wasn't taking the best care of my health, if something like that was found out. But I definitely don't blame myself for any of the pregnancy losses that I've had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where that I don't really have the similar, the same feeling about both of those obstacles.
Right. It's just, yeah.
I hope I explained that well.
That was perfect. No, I love that you said that, yeah, used the way you explained it as something that isn't your control, something that you absolutely know is, you know, that thing, you know, maybe you don't want to always hear that everything happens for a reason, but the one thing, when it is in your control, let's say, or you feel like there are circumstances that, yes, you, first of all, you've answered the question, this is for me, I want to work for this, I want to keep going after this, and then mm-hmm. you're like, hey, there are obstacles. Number one, the lessons that you share in your chapter is don't be afraid to ask, and that's a big one.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Oh, so did you find that you were not asking for help?
I think that's the part, like when I was saying, like communication. And if there was things that I wish I would have saw different, or if I saw maybe a different opportunity in how something was being done, I know on my end, I did not ask enough questions. And I held back because I was new at everything. And so that's where I'm like, well, my opportunity with this is right now. And I'm working, you know, with this team. It's not like I can stop right now. And so there's a lot of stuff I know on my end that I did hold back on. And that's where I want everyone to know that, like, if we don't ask, it's always going to be a no, because no one knows what we're thinking and what we're feeling on it. And that's for anything.
Right.
So just like learning for myself even to speak up. And I do say that to the women that are, you know, are going to be in the book I'm compiling. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask me. Like, I feel like I say that all the time. If there's something you need, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. I will get back to you. You know, I'm big on communication. So that's where I was meaning with that.
I love that. Actually, I think it's funny. It's interesting how we all use the word abuse. Hesitate. Don't hesitate. Because that word even, hesitation, it's uncertainty. I'm sure the voice came up, told me that I wanted something, but then something came in front of it, that obstacle showed up and said, oh, no. Do you really want to ask that? Are they going to judge you for asking? Are you going to seem silly, stupid, you know? You can't do it on your own. Are these the things that are kind of coming up?
Well, and you kind of, because you, and I said it earlier, like about relationships, you want to be accepted, you know? So it's like, and sometimes maybe if you're not on the same page with somebody and you've only met them online, so you don't even, you know them, that it's face-to-face, and actually spend quality time with them, even if it's just sitting at dinner and getting to know their mannerisms and things like that. So there's a tendency that we hold back because what if they don't accept your ideas and they'll tell you what you want to hear, things like that.
Gotcha.
That's what I know was a fear for me. It's, okay, am I accepted? And because I'm really new at this, are they going to look at me like, okay, but then behind the scenes, they're coming up and doing something else. Because I don't know. You know what I mean? Because I was brand new.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's difficult. That can seem like an obstacle for stepping into a new circle and everything. With all your experience of what you've done, and you're now going out and putting this compilation out, and it's going to be published. In the last few minutes, I was going to ask, are you calling upon people to reach out to you to be co-authors, or are you coaching people right now?
I am still looking for a couple co-authors if they are interested. So, yes, we just had our first meeting last Thursday and pulling all the authors together that we could meet online. But it's still open right now. We're just starting to set up the deadlines and get things rolling. So if anybody's interested, please let me know. Reach out to me. Reach out to Lisa so we can be connected. What was the second question? I can't remember.
And this is for everybody. Any woman who would love to just be a part of a group who has dealt with miscarriages or infant loss.
Yeah.
That is right. And so just a reminder, if anybody's feeling compelled to reach out, say, yeah, I feel like there's some opportunity here through this obstacle. And the other one is, do you coach, and is there an invitation other than writing for you with you in your book, do you coach? What are your services?
I have actually done life coaching on and off this last year, and then I put a stop on it because I didn't know what I wanted to focus on, but not just like everything in life. So I actually was talking to my, I guess it would be my marketing coach,
who's
been guiding me, that with this book, I do want to pull in a coaching program because I know it's neglected within the community and resources online. And I, part of this whole thing is wanting to support other women through the process and either going through their testing, maybe not sure where they need to go and what questions they need to ask through the process, or if they are still grieving and have had a miscarriage or lost a child. So, and that's where definitely being a counselor for so long.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best that I could offer anybody because you do have someone that you know, has been a counselor or a social worker for 19, almost 20 years, and going through my own struggles. So I am pulling together a program when this book is, you know, as we're forming the book, because the book's going to be released October 23rd.
Okay, well, first of all, good marketing coach. Yay!
Yes.
And everybody, if you would like to send, first of all, find her on Facebook. It's super easy. It's 44 Danielle Lynn, DanielleLynn, or pop onto her website, I would even suggest. So DanielleLynnInspires.com. So, Danielle, I have to say goodbye to you, and I hate that, but
I know. I could talk to you forever.
It just flies. It seriously does. Well, you know what? I thank you so much for just showing, giving people those couple tips. You know what? Obstacles, just turn them, just whip them right into those opportunities. And if you need help, ask. Ask for, do not hesitate and ask. So thank you so much for being a part of this series. We've been doing Obstacles Equal Opportunities, Volume 2, and we've been speaking with Danielle Lynn. Aw, thanks so much, Danielle.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. And everybody, you continue listening to this entire series, this whole month of July on Monday. Okay, bye, everyone.